Hello and welcome to Artists Soar. This is a podcast for artists by three artists. We discuss all aspects of being artists, the good, the bad, and the ugly. The goal of each podcast is to provide solutions so artists can focus on their creativity and soar above. I'm Rachel Harshenko.
Jules McCullough.
Stephanie Weaver.
Welcome, everybody. And today we are going to talk about overcoming unrealistic expectations. Hello, how do we do that? And you started this conversation, Stephanie, by what happened?
So I have a lot of unrealistic expectations, I think. And I don't know they're unrealistic until I actually just get crushed. And then, you know, I talked with somebody and they're like, and I asked, am I, my expectations unrealistic? And they're like, yeah.
So, but you're a high achiever too. So it comes with the territory.
Yeah. But it's one of those things. It's like, you know, we talk specifically about painting. You know, you go into these paintings and you're painting and painting, painting, and you're just like really super excited about it. And then as soon as you release it, you're expecting all the accolades and everybody to love it and put hearts on it and all this, and it's just crickets. And that's, I guess, how you can kind of relate to everything that I'm feeling when it comes to this stuff, is you watch these other artists out there that they talk about releasing collections and then selling out in like the first hour, 2 hours, whatever. And so you think,
yeah, their computer melts down.
Yeah. And you're just like crickets, and it's just exhausting.
Because very exhausting.
You don't understand what's happening. Why is this way? Why are they doing that? And why, you know, you start doing that comparison trap stuff.
Well, and it even goes to, like, you were talking about doing our marketing, and you had ordered or taken this person's class, and they're like, yeah, you just need 2 days and you can get 500 days taken care of. And you're like, what?
Yeah.
And then you were like, I didn't even get 50 days. And then you said you're like crushed, and you're like, why can't I even do this?
Well, that's the thing. Is a lot of when we were talking earlier, there are tons of marketing people out there and selling courses, selling programs, and they sound really, really good. And they are really good at marketing. And the particular program that I bought was like this social media, set it and forget it type thing. You do 100 days of social media in a weekend, and you've got your social media covered for the next 6 months. And then and the person just said over and over, 2 days is all it's going to take. Da, 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 da. And you're like, okay, cool. I could totally do this. And so you sit down and it does not take 2 days. And then you just feel like a total failure. And then you start evaluating, like, why can they do it? And I can't do it in 2 days. And, you know, and then it's just spiral. And it's not good. It's not good what they're doing to artists or anybody. It's not good. You know, it's like if you were to watch any of these weight loss programs, they make you feel like crap if you don't achieve what they're telling you you can achieve in a weekend, lose 10 pounds in 2 weeks, blah. You know, it's just stupid. It's stupid what these marketing people are doing, and it's frustrating. And I totally spiraled on Friday because of it, because it was just like, I'm not good enough. How, what am I doing wrong? And when I talked with the person, they were like, you know, you're further along than you really think that you are. And it's having those kind of conversations with somebody else really, really, really helps, because if you're doing this alone, it's no wonder everybody feels like they're not making headway.
Because that marketing is into art, you know, and like you were saying, like, people are doing their time stopping and like showing how they're doing all their work, and they get like 50,000 likes. And and like you were saying, you're like, here's this beautiful, realistic, whatever oil painting that you took 60 hours to make, and you have 3 likes, and you're like,
yeah. Meanwhile, I can go and just, you know, take my fingers and put stuff up. Those TikTok videos irk me to no end. That's setting unrealistic expectations. Mm-hmm. And I remember, like, when I first started oil painting or teaching people how to oil paint, and they would go to those paint and sips, they're expecting to come to oil painting class and walk away with a finished piece within 2 hours. Sorry, well, it doesn't work that way. It's just, I mean, one, those are acrylics. Number two, you get what you pay for. And that's not this quality of piece that I expect that my students to walk away with.
What do you do about that? I mean, like, we, all three of us, we've taken courses where we're like, oh, we're going to learn how to do SEO. And I'm not going to ever have any more questions about SEO. And you take that class and you're like, I knew what he just told me. Like, what, you know?
Yeah.
And Julie was talking about
that. Yeah, that's just frustrating when, you know, I think there comes a point, though, where you know more than you think you know, and now you can qualify yourself as an expert. You can't continue to take classes. Like, there's a point, there's a reason you graduate from college. There's a reason you graduate from high school. You know, you don't continue taking class after class after class unless you're in a type of program that's going to build it up.
Right.
And I think that's where our expectations get a little lost, too, because it's very frustrating to pay for a course. And then you get into the course and you're like, I already knew that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, I already knew that. Okay, well, that's a little tidbit, but 90% of this I already knew.
Right. And you feel like you wasted.
Right. Time and money.
And so I feel like, are we living in the age of overhypeness?
Oh my gosh, that is an excellent way of putting it.
Yes.
Because you guys have all gotten different marketing classes, me too, where the cute little girl is on there and she's like, la 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 la, you're going to learn everything from me and I am the best. And then you take it and you're like, she is just giving you a bunch of BS where you're like.
Oh, that 1 hour thing that you and I sat on last week. Oh my gosh.
That was the worst. And
you missed it.
I missed it.
Okay. She was just like, I don't even know. 30. I don't even know where she started, but it was like, she was giving us kindergarten lessons when we were expecting masterclass stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was just.
It was a rapid fire 37 things that you need to know about Facebook. And, you know, when you get these.
In less than 30 minutes.
Yeah. It was just, it was ridiculous, and half the stuff
is not available because it's not there. They haven't rolled it out yet,
right?
So, and how is this helpful?
Some of the stuff, I'm like, I've been doing that all year.
I know, right?
Yeah, and I was like, why is this is not new?
New,
and she was like, yeah, I'm sorry. And then, like, the people who were putting it on, they were like, oh, everybody said you did such a great job. And I was like, who? I couldn't have even written down what she said fast enough.
I know.
So it got me going down a rabbit hole of, well, let me just figure out what the new Facebook stuff is. Mm-hmm. I can do that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so I guess I'm figuring, I don't know, this overhypeness and the overmarketing and the overselling is just proving to me that I can do it and we can do it. And if you're listening, you can do it because half of these classes just say no.
Right.
Right.
Well, it made me reevaluate my whole marketing on my website because, you know, I followed all those guys. I followed the quote experts on, you know, the 16 things that you need to have on your sales page and and the way that they come across, it's like, okay, well, I've got to emulate this. And so that's what I was starting to do. And I'm watching this stuff and I'm looking at my website and I'm like, it's visually overwhelming. And I know Julie was thinking the same thing. She's like, it's a little much. And but how do I say this in a nice way? I know what you're doing.
It has to be for you. It's your website.
Right. Yeah. You've got to do what you think is best. You can look for opinions from others. But
Trust. Opinions
that you trust.
And
exactly.
I trust your opinion. I value you guys' opinions. So when I went to go and reevaluate, because these guys that what class you and I sat in on about Facebook, 37 things in 30 minutes, irked me to no end.
Because I'm so glad it irked you, because I was kind of pissed off too as I'm listening. I'm like, wait, because I'm trying to follow her.
Yes, I was too, trying to find these things. And then she's like,
and then she's already on to something else. And you're like,
and I'm purchased in her community. I bought into her community. $97 a month, I bought into that community.
Oh, Lord.
And after that, stopped. I canceled because I was just like, this is so surface level. And what I have the surface level. I have more depth than this, even. Mm-hmm. I just need to do what I know and trust what I know and stop relying on these quote unquote experts on telling me what I need to do. I know me. I know my products. I know my art. I know my audience. Be me.
Yep. And that's the key.
And I think that goes for everybody that's listening. You know, stop feeling like you are not enough. You know, and I know that's hard. My God, that is so hard.
It's so hard. But the other thing too is to remember when you're seeing these success stories,
right?
And I think Stephanie, you said this earlier. I mean,
instant success.
Yeah, you're only seeing one, maybe 0.1% of the reality of it, and those others. There is other successes out there. It's just, you know, you're just as good as that one.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's no real overnight success story.
Exactly.
It's the longest.
Right.
It's a
And I mean, the one that we were talking about earlier, you know, yes, she's very successful now, but she started her community like 10, 12 years ago in reality.
Yeah.
And it's grown and, you know, changed since then.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what people forget is they see on the surface this, oh, look at me. I got 10,000 members, blah, blah, blah. And what you're not seeing is all the work that went into that. And I think we had a podcast where we talked about this before, too. It frustrates the living daylights out of me that people don't share the reality of the back.
Right.
And
yeah,
it bugs the hell out of me because that's the piece that matters.
Right.
I want to see the blood, sweat, and tears that went into it.
Right.
And like, not necessarily literally are you going to show all that, but
why not?
But show the reality of it.
We're all doing it.
Exactly. Because or else then we get into those unrealistic expectations.
But that also allows us to share in our successes.
Yes.
I mean, we bear our burdens with each other and then we can share our successes.
Right.
I mean, like, we're in my studio here at my house right now. And, you were looking at my little heart stuff, but there's one over here that it looks like total crap. And even John's like, what is this? John's my husband. He's so sweet though. But he was like, this really isn't your style, is it? I'm like, no, I think I'm just going to paint over that one. And he was like, well, that might not be a bad idea. You know? And I'm like, so, you know, it wasn't a success, but I've got two other pieces that I like. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
And like you said you've had the night where you just like lifted a piece and you just ripped it up.
Oh yeah. It feels good every now and then to rip it up. But other times it doesn't. Yeah. I don't know what the distinguishing difference is between, you know, being able to rip it up and the other one where you just, I just don't understand where's the difference between accepting that you can just rip it up type of thing and when you can move past it. Cause every painting goes to an ugly stage,
right?
You know, that's true. And if we think about like even our businesses, it's all going to go through that ugly duckling mm-hmm. stage and yep. eventually get to the prettiness. That's the finished piece that you get to enjoy. And, you know, you just got to keep pushing through. So at what point do you make the decision to rip it or push it?
Well, and do you, in a business, do you ever get, I mean, obviously it's not always going to be ugly and there's going to be, but isn't it always evolving?
Oh yeah, it has to. Yeah.
You're evaluating it.
Right.
It's always like, is this working?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is this ad working?
What's not working?
Right. And that's kind of, I feel the same way with artwork. Like sometimes you're like, you can set it aside and come back to it. But there's other times where you're like, no, this is not working.
Yeah.
And I think that's where you can let it go.
Scrub it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But expectations, I just think everything is overhyped right now.
It really is. As I listened to this one guy talk about, we are no longer in the age of information. We are in the age of attention.
Yes.
Who can be the loudest? Who could be the most bold? Who could be, in truth, really like that car salesman that we used to see in like the 1980s on the television.
Right.
That's what they're going for. And as artists, I don't think they're talking to any of us.
I don't think so either. And then I'm almost wondering too, is, are we just in an age that everyone is trying to find their little block of the internet because so much has gone to online? Mm-hmm. You know, are we battling, you know, I want this 10 by 10 square here at the art show, and, you know, and how do we get it? Because so much has gone online with the pandemic and everything.
That's a really good question. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, it's really hard to find good art on the internet.
Especially with Google. Google sucks. In terms of, you know, you doing the search engine and everything, if you want to actually find answers to questions or original artwork, your best spot is actually go DuckDuckGo. You know, that browser is just non-biased.
Well, and I'm tired of Google is pulling up things that it thinks I want to see and not pulling up what I want to see. Like if I Google, you know, winter art scenes for inspiration, you know, it's bringing up non-winter art scenes because I live in the South. And I'm like, no, that's not what I Googled. What I put into here is winter art scenes, winter scenes, you know, where's the snow and the trees? And I'm like, I don't want to see palm trees and Santa on a sailboat. I want to see a winter scene in the forest. You know, like, come on now. Just because I'm located here, so I'm tired of having to do everything in incognito because Google just can't seem to get it out of its fat head that stop tailoring it to me.
Well, that was, I did something similar. I was looking for places to go paint in Alabama. The first thing that I saw was glamping, you know, glamour camping.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, okay. And I clicked on it and I was, I'm not staying in a tent. And it's like, I just wanted to find someplace pretty to go paint.
I don't want a tent.
Oh my God.
I'm a 5-star hotel girl. Please don't show me this.
If I'm going to go out someplace else and sleep in something else bed, it's going to have a spa in it.
Exactly.
God. But I think one way that we could help with controlling our expectations, and I think you did this a little bit too, and Julie does this really well too, but is to go and look at your competitors or people who you love are the other artists. They don't even have to be in the same, or photographers or whatever, other creatives, and see what they're doing. And what's working for them.
Yeah.
It does help to kind of get an idea of, you know, and just remember they're 10 years into it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing that really, really helps, I think, with resetting your expectations is talking with your friends.
Yes.
And talking with people that are in the same boat as you. Because I wanted to talk with my husband about it, but, you know, he doesn't get it.
Mine doesn't. I'm not saying no, yours doesn't. I'm saying no, mine doesn't get it either.
I mean, they're good men. They're very good men, very good supportive guys, but they don't understand what it means to be an artist and have these visions of what we want in the next year, 2 years, 10 years.
Right.
You know? And so you can't talk to them. You can't, but it doesn't do any good.
Well, and I have one that's never worked anything but a government job, so...
I do think it's essential to talk to other artists.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because that helps you see what you're doing and what you're doing right and what you're doing wrong and things like that. So I like our little mastermind group.
Yeah, I do too.
Well, and I think it's important too to find those artists that aren't going to, how do you put this nicely? Because there's so many out there that don't want to share anything.
Oh, yeah. The information hoarders.
Where, I mean, go out and ask the questions and just, you know, use your gut to find out, to figure out which one is going to be honest and which one's not. I mean, go with your gut on it and find those friends. I mean, that's what we did several years ago to find each other. So.
And you got to realize, though, you really, to help with your expectations, is they're not going to be on the same page as you.
No.
Right.
And they're not going to be maybe even in the same chapter.
Right.
That's a good point, too.
And they may be a totally different medium, too.
And it's a different, even if you like something like, say, a photographer is doing, you're like, oh my gosh, his email campaigns are amazing. You can adapt to that. No problem.
Yeah.
But if he's like a 65-year-old photographer who's worldwide known, okay, he's not on the same page as you.
Right. And I think that's a good point, Rachel, is like really looking from the outside in to know, is this a realistic expectation?
Right.
For myself, what does this person, where is this person at in their path versus my path? Because we're all on different paths and different points in our journey.
And I think you mentioned something earlier before we were recording was to have like three goals that you want from your marketing or want to change.
Three messages,
or three things you, your messaging, what you want for this upcoming year.
Yeah. Does my website say these three things? And if not, what is it saying instead? And how do I change it to say what my three things? It's not really a goal. It's more of, these are the three questions I need to ask for every piece of marketing I have in my business. Mm-hmm. And if the marketing that I'm putting out there, be it an email or a website or a social media post, doesn't answer all three of those questions, then it's not hitting spot on to my audience.
Okay, I'm going to put you on the spot. What's one question that you always look at? I mean, I know like your branding, you always want to make sure that your color branding, like you're very specific about your look.
Is this authentic to me?
Yeah.
Is this who I am? Is it saying who I am? Because I mean, I have stuff that doesn't talk to who I am now that I don't share anymore because it doesn't make sense to share it because it doesn't fit. And that kind of goes along with fitting with my brand. But I always ask, you know, is this within my brand guidelines? Does it match that?
I think it'd be interesting to see, you know, how when you go into these courses and they have like a little roadmap of the courses that you're supposed to take throughout their program and stuff. I think it'd be really, really interesting to see your roadmap of art progression. So like you take a piece of art from, you know, say 2000, then from 2001, 2002, 2000. That would be really, really cool.
Like kind of, I'm picturing the Candy Lane game where you walk around the boardwalk and each square is a piece of artwork.
Yeah, because I would love to see the progression that you've gone through because you've really, I'm pointing at Julie. You guys can't tell I'm pointing at Julie. But I would love to see the progression. Even your progression over the last like year or so has... That would be a neat article. So everybody out there, type in hashtag positive painter because I want to see what you did if you do that. So
that would be really good.
Yeah. I got excited about that one. I want you to do that, Julie. Do that for me.
Okay.
Thank for the past. at least cool. I'm thinking 10 years.
Yeah.
That would be cool. Let's just give you some homework for Christmas.
Okay. You didn't need anything more to do, did you?
No, not at all. I'm still trying to do my goals my plan for 2022.
But I'm thinking of like some of your photography pieces that you did all the way up to what you're doing now.
Because in the short time that I've known you, and when I say short time, we've known each other, what, about 5 years?
Seven, and something like that.
I remember your work starting out a little bit dark. Like it started out dark.
My photography was,
and now it's bright, colorful, cheerful, lots of turquoises and blues and oranges and pinks. Mm-hmm. And
because I found who I really was.
It's evolved. Even our glasses are turquoise. You guys got to see that.
No, I mean, you're right. Because I think originally when I started out with photography, I was, not that I was trying to be what other people were. I was just trying. I thought that's what was desired and what I wanted. But really, I wanted pieces that weren't hinting at finding the light. I wanted to be the light.
But that was the trend when you were putting those pieces out, were dark pieces.
Right, which I didn't like the dark pieces, but I liked the fact that there was the atmosphere of there's always a little bit of light, even in the darkest days. Mm-hmm. And that was the whole theme behind all my photography work. But I quickly found, or maybe not so quickly, I don't know, in a couple of years, that wasn't authentic to me. Wasn't who I was.
That's an interesting perspective of the unrealistic expectations. Mm-hmm. Is other people were putting unrealistic expectations on you, yeah. Mm-hmm. on the type of artwork that you should develop.
Right.
Depending on what your medium
is. Yeah. Yeah. And that's when I was like, you know, really, I want to go back to my childhood of drawing and creating.
Coloring on the floor.
Yes.
Getting lost in your world. I've loved mm-hmm. those times.
And then even in college, I loved marker and colored pencil. And so over the last 10 years or so, that's where I've gone back to, is what I really liked. But I've tied it in with the digital aspect. And now I do watercolors with, and then bring it into digital and alter it that way.
So you guys let us know how you overcome or head on unrealistic expectations, and also #PositivePainters and let us see some of your progressions in your artwork. That would be awesome.
Love to see that.
Yes.
Yes. And until next time.
Thanks for listening to Artists Soar,
a podcast for artists by artists. And if you have any questions, feel free to email us at hello@artistsoar.com.
And be sure to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts so that you can get more of us and we can bring in some sponsors to help you and help us.